Before we get into the word, I want us to watch the lyrics of the song, Revelation Song. We're going to be in the book of Revelation today. And here's a wonderful song to get us into a place to receive some readings from the book of Revelation.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Wonderful song taken, lifted right out of the book of Revelation, and a song about heaven. If you haven't noticed, songs we've been singing for the past few weeks have been about heaven. Heaven's on the other side that we just sung a few moments ago. The guy who wrote that song, we grew up at the same church in Buffalo, and we're Church of Christ. A guy by the name of Ronald Walker. In fact, Shandrika, I don't know if you've ever met Ronald, but you went to church with his sister, Janetta. I learned later on, didn't know at the time when we were going to church, that we're cousins. His mother is my father's cousin. But he wrote Heaven's on the Other Side, and many of you might not have ever heard that song, but I can tell you that song is being sung in countries all over the world. Written by Ronald, I called him and asked him, I said, hey, like, what inspired you to write that song? Like, what happened? He said, well, you know, I was in the chorus at church, and the chorus director asked me to write a song. And I was working at an auto parts store. And one day I was in a robe between some motor oil. And the thought of heaven just came to my mind. And I went to the counter there, and no one was in the store. And I wrote down the lyrics to Heaven's on the Other Side. And it sounds kind of like uninspiring, but actually for me it's very inspiring. That someone doing the mundane, ordinary task had a glimpse of heaven. That's kind of where we are. We're kind of stuck in this tension of just living regular, ordinary, mundane, same old, you know, time to make the donuts. If you remember that reference, that commercial, you just get up and do the same thing over and over again. That's how we kind of live. But from time to time, there are these moments where we have this glimpse of heaven. And that's what we've been doing for the past several weeks, is going to Scripture and getting but a glimpse. I wish I could paint for you a full picture view of what heaven's going to be, what it's going to be like, and all the theological considerations with it. I can't, but what we can do is maybe scratch the surface a bit, you know, just maybe get a bit, or like I subtitled the series, give you a glimpse of heaven. Heaven has been our topic, and as the song suggests, it's just on the other side. Heaven's on the other side. Heaven is God's habitation. We've talked about that. It is a place also that is prepared for those who follow him. It will be our home too. It will be our habitation one day. This is what the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul said about heaven. This is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that is, that it may be comforted to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. He says our citizenship is in heaven. As some theologians and Bible teachers will say, we're sojourners. I like one theologian, Stanley Hauerwas. He says we are resident aliens. You know, we live here, but this is not our home, our citizenship, our home place, our place where we will call home, that will be our forever home, is heaven. So continuing our brief look at heaven and Scripture, I wanted us to take some time in a book that talks a lot about heaven. It's the last book of our Bibles, the book of Revelation. Revelation is an interesting book, to say the least. It is a book that we are drawn into a rich tapestry of images and visions. It was written to groups of Christians who were being persecuted for their beliefs in Jesus. For centuries, this book has been used to paint a picture of the end times and heaven and a commentary on the unfolding of events of the day. I can't tell you how many times over the past 20 or so years folks have gone to Revelation, you know, to say, oh, this is the start of the end times. This is just how Revelation said it. Oh, yeah, one world government and one coin and all. And I want you to know that they've been saying that for the past 20 years. They've been saying that for the past 80 years. They've been saying it for the past, like, 1,000 years. Every moment in time, there are a group of people who will go to Revelation and they'll say, oh, this is it. That's the power of the imagery and the visions in Revelation, such that it induces us to begin to make commentary even on our current situations. Revelation, though, in its original context, in its original setting, to its original readers, were words of comfort to a persecuted church, and much of what John wrote were words of hope and a vivid description of that which was to come. So let's start off by taking a read in Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse number 1. This is Revelation, the fourth chapter, verse number 1. If you're interested, I think a year or so ago, 2 years ago, I did a sermon series on Revelation. In the beginning part, the seven churches, is a sermon series called Dear Church. And I did a sermon series that talked a lot about the churches that were addressed in Revelation. And so that's what you'll read before you get to chapter 4. John gets these visions, and there are angels, messengers sent to all these seven churches of Asia Minor, which is today modern-day Turkey. And then we get to verse number 4. So John writes, after this, after the visions and the messages to the seven churches, he says, after this, I looked, and there in heaven, a door stood open. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looks like jasper and carnelian, and around the throne a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders, dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and full of eyes all around and inside, day and night, without ceasing, they sing, holy, 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 the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Chapter 4 begins a series of reports by John of what he saw while he was in heaven. He does not spare the details. What was shown to him, he reports just as he saw it. And throughout Revelation, you'll read this phrase, and it just stuck out to me as I was reading through Revelation. And I saw, or and then I saw. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Revelation 5, 6. Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then I saw, Revelation 6, 1, The Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures call out as with a voice of thunder, "Come." Then I saw, Revelation 14:6, another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw another portent in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is ended. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hand. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. Revelation chapter 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and the one who sat on it. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Also another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Throughout Revelation, John uses the phrase, I saw, then I saw, and I saw, I looked, and then I looked, 47 times. Clearly, John wants us to see something. He wants this picture etched in our mind, in our hearts, and in our collective memory. He wants to paint this picture so good that we can see heaven and taste heaven and feel heaven. And based on what is written here, what's written in Revelation, what John records, all that he saw, there's a lot going on here. We just cannot cover it all. It's so much. But it's highlighted by this. What does John see? He sees that Jesus is there. John sees Jesus, and he is mentioned at least 80 times in Revelation in his visions of heaven. And he's designated by several names. You hear Jesus and Lamb of God and Jesus Christ and Faithful Witness and the firstborn of the dead and ruler of kings of the earth and first and the last and the last one, the holy one, the true one, the Amen, the beginning of God's creation, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star, the Word of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is there. In heaven, Jesus' fullness can be witnessed and experienced as seen in the richness of his names and titles and designations. And we should know that this is the Jesus we are following right now. He is that dude. Some of the young folks, they say things like, he is him. Jesus is that guy. He is that dude. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. We don't have to wait to heaven to experience the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end and the bright and morning star and the ruler of all, the beginning of God's creation. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. We can serve him and follow him and worship him right now. He is that dude. He is him. And one day, we will not walk around here with just visions or just words. We will actually be in heaven with Jesus. There's a lot going on here, and it's highlighted by Jesus' presence. He's there, but there are other things going on there. Because it says those who lived a faithful life in Jesus are there. Throughout Revelation, the Lord is purposeful in showing John that Jesus' followers will be in heaven. Those who endured, those who didn't follow the evil one, those who were faithful, those who keep God at the center. You have to remember that this book was being written to a group of persecuted Christians during a time of Roman emperor rule, where the Roman emperor demanded that the residents in his kingdom worship him. That he didn't mind that you worship other gods, but you had to worship the emperor as well. One of the guys that was infamous for this was a guy by the name of Domitian. And Domitian, he demanded emperor worship. He demanded that folks bow down to him. He demanded that you would get things inscribed on your wrists so that you could get into the temple and have emperor worship. He demanded all of this. And so what John sees are those who said, no, I will not bow down to the emperor. No, I will not follow the evil one. No, I'm going to endure. If you got to kill me, you go ahead and kill me. If you have to rip my family apart, you rip my family apart. I will not ever, never, ever, ever bow down to the emperor. And John sees that those faithful ones that endured and persevered, they're there. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who from now on die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. So church, this is why when our loved ones die in the Lord, we take heart. We get encouraged. And we get a little envious because they, when they die, are now closer to the Lord. It's bittersweet because they're gone from us, but they are with the Lord. There's a lot going on in Revelation. Jesus is there. Faithful ones, they're there. But also, worship. Worship is there. Church, the sense that I get is that in heaven, it's going to be busy and it's going to be loud. There will be singing and shouting. Now, I don't know what hymn book they'll use. I don't know if they'll have PowerPoint and display the lyrics on the screen. I don't know. I don't know what language we'll be singing in. But singing there will be. Repeated choruses of worthy is the Lamb and holy, holy, holy. John, in his recording of both what he saw and heard, wrote down the lyrics of what some have noted are 28 different songs all throughout Revelation. One example, Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped of God, singing, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. There are two songs that I just read in chapter 7. There's going to be so much going on in heaven. Too much to mention this morning, but an incredible description is provided by the Apostle John, who walked with Jesus, and he was not skimpy in providing details of what he saw. One final thought from Revelation chapter 21, where John writes, "Then I saw," there's that phrase again, "then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." So you might ask, at least I ask, like, where exactly is heaven going to be? Is it some majestic palace in the sky? Is it a revamped earth? Is it a reconditioned and renewed Eden? We talked about that last week. In recent years, there has been much debate about this. John reported that he looked up and he saw a new earth and a new heaven and a new Jerusalem coming down. Now, let me be straight with you. I have no clue where it's going to be located. I'm not that smart. I don't know if heaven is earth reimagined. I don't know if it's a reconditioned earth. I don't know if we're going to up in the sky somewhere, Jupiter. I don't know. This is what I know. I just want to be there. I just want to be there. Really don't care where it's at. I really don't care where it's at. Sorry, Wesley. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. But if it's in Dallas, we'll just go to Dallas. I just want to be there. I don't know. I really don't know if I'll recognize all my loved ones who have passed and gone on before me. You know, a year before I was born, I had a sister that was born March 31st, 1973. She died April 1st, 1973, a day old. I don't know. Maybe when I get to heaven, I'll get to heaven and I'll see Alicia. And I'll see my dad holding Alicia. And maybe I'll see my dad holding Alicia with his dad, who he never knew because his dad died when he was year old. And maybe his dad is looking over his shoulder of him holding my sister. Maybe, I don't know. I know some of you have lost loved ones and you're looking forward to being reunited with your loved ones. And it may be exactly like that. You'll see them, you'll hug, you'll cry. That might be the case. I don't know. I just know this. I just want to be there. I don't know if there will be trumpets and harps. We're an acapella church of Christ. Might be a little shocking. I don't know. I just want to be there. I don't know if the style of singing will be black gospel music, Scottish canticles, or songs out of the Russian Orthodox tradition. I don't know. I just want to be there. I'm told there will be streets of gold, pearly gates. I don't know, maybe. I just want to be there. Can't wait to get there and hear my name called. I used to watch Romper Room when I was a kid. Anybody here watch Romper Room? Y'all remember Romper Room? I watched Romper Room every time it came on TV. And at the end of the show, the teacher, it was a show with a teacher and a bunch of, I don't know, kindergarten kids, and did a bunch of school age things, sang songs, play games. And at the end of each episode, she would get this mirror. Like it'd start with a full mirror, and then the mirror part would disappear, and you just see her face like that. And at the end of the show, y'all remember this? At the end of the show, she was like, okay, let's see who I see. I see Johnny and Mary and Becky and Mary. And I mean, I never heard her say, like, I see Shamika and Tyrone, like never. But listen, you could write to the show. You could write to the show. And if you wrote to the show and left your name could be called. So I wrote to the show. And I watched at the end of every show, waiting. I didn't care what happened during the episode. I wanted her to call my name. I wanted her to say, I see Mary and Billy and Johnny and Tyrone and Dion. She probably would have said Dion, but she never called my name. And let me tell you, as a kid, I was so disappointed every time I didn't hear my name. Well, I'm old now, and it hurts still a little bit. As I'm thinking back, I'm having some trauma here. But I'm kind of over that. What I can't wait to hear, when I get to heaven, that's just on the other side, when I'm not trying to get in with roller skates or in a tissue box, I can't wait to hear the Lamb say, Dion, welcome. But not only that, I can't wait for the Lamb of God to say, I see Dion, and I see Christy, and I see William, and I see Anita, I see Francie, I see Nathan, and I see Darlene, I see Isabella, and I see Conrad. I would say all of your names. I don't want y'all to think that, oh man, he's leaving me out. You're getting the feelings I got when I was a little kid watching. No, I can't wait to hear everyone's name one day. One day. I don't know if we'll see everything that John mentioned in Revelation. I hope to see it. That would be kind of cool. I just want to be there. Let me ask you this question. How many of y'all just want to be there? If you just want to be there, just raise your hand. If you just want to be there. It's a wonderful feeling. And I pray that we will follow the Lamb of God, that we will follow Jesus in all that he has called us to do. One author says this about Revelation. He says that the Bible, you can look at it as a five-act narrative. The first act is Genesis, creation. The second act is Exodus through Malachi, the rest of the Old Testament. That's covenant. And then you get Matthew through John, and that's Christ. That's Act 3. Act 4, I'm sorry, Matthew through John. Act 4 is Acts through Jude, and that's church. And then the final act is Revelation, where this author calls it consummation. That is that everything comes together. And it culminates in this final scene where everything before consummation has been building up to this grand finale. It all comes to be. And this is the place in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15. It says that the kingdom, then seven angels blew a trumpet, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. This is the moment where there are no more kingdoms. There's just one. It's God's kingdom. And guess what, church? I just want to be there. We're going to sing a song of invitation, another song from Revelation, a song about crowns. That's what John sees. He says people, they got their crowns. But in the text, you see that the folks that received their crowns were so happy to receive their crowns. You know what they did? They took them off and threw them at the feet of Jesus, because it wasn't about the crown. It was about getting close to Jesus. May we all fall down at the feet of Jesus one day. May we all fall down at the feet of Jesus right now as he reigns, even as he will reign forevermore. We could pray for you, be helpful to you in your walk with Christ. We can be helpful for you in your journey to heaven. Come as we stand, sing this song.